God. Well, it is Christmas time. And the only thing I missed out of that were the bathrobes. I needed to see some bathrobes. I think next year I'm just going to bring a bathrobe and put it on a kid or something like that. And, you know, part of my favorite things about Christmas, especially when kids get in and they do something, is the unexpected stuff. Like the Jackson doing the... You know, yeah. You can't really get away with doing that until you're a pastor. And... it's so fun to see the kids and get them to do anything in front of their parents and family and friends. So welcome. Well, let's pray. Let's get into the Word of God today. And got something I believe that the Lord has given me to give you some encouragement and to bless us today. Heavenly Father, I love you. I come to you now and I ask for you to use me as a mouthpiece. Just speak through me today to the hearts of every person here. Lord, open up your word by your power, by your Holy Spirit. Reveal to us the things that we need to know and just strengthen us for this Christmas season. Lord, I give you praise and I ask for you to do all this in your name. Amen. Praise God. As I start this message, I want you to think back to some of your favorite Christmases real quick. When was a time where you got something at a Christmas time that is just marked different? It was something you remember loving more than anything else. It was so exciting. The minute you opened up that gift or the minute you saw it, your mind just exploded with joy, excitement. Maybe you danced, maybe you cried, maybe you laughed. Maybe you couldn't do anything audible but just run around and make noise. I remember not too long ago when one of my kids were young, she desperately wanted like musical stuff, and she just desperately wanted it. And so we got this guitar, this musical guitar thing that you didn't even need to play a chord. You just had to hit something and the chords would just play. And it came with like a little microphone like this and all this kind of stuff. So you could be like Britney Spears before she was creepy. And stuff like that. And it was just all cute and fun and everything. And we knew that one of our girls just was so excited. And so we had the camera ready and everything. And when she opened it up, it was so funny, her response. Because instead of taking care of this precious gift, all she did was she dropped it on the ground and then danced in celebration around it. And I'm looking at that going, that's not the way you're supposed to treat a gift that costs crazy amounts of money that you love. You should like hug it or something. No, not this kid. Throws it on the ground. It's like, ah! And I'm looking at that. I'm like, now that's joy and excitement. For me, when I got something I loved, I remember one year I got a bow and arrow from my mom and dad. It was a custom recurve bow and arrow. I got it. It matched my dad's. Mine was a 35-pound pole. My dad's was a 65-pound pole. And it was, I felt like a real, like, old school, like, cowboy Indian kind of thing. Because it wasn't those compound bows. If you know what I'm talking about, the bow bends like this backwards. And it's just so cool looking. And it was awesome. And I remember getting this, and I couldn't wait. I just forgot the rest of Christmas. I left right in the middle of Christmas so I could string it, take it out, and shoot stuff. And as you remember, I might have told this story a couple times. It all was fun and games until I shot the air conditioning unit. And, yeah, I know, it's great. The air conditioning unit was right next to the big glass doors at our house. 2 inches or more this direction, I would have missed the AC unit and went straight through the sliding glass doors. But I loved that Christmas present. My parents didn't. I don't have that anymore. My dad still has it. But I don't know what it was for you. Maybe it was a ring. Maybe it was something wonderful like that. But I do know this. Whenever you get a gift that is something you've anticipated for a long time, built up an expectation for, whatever it might be, even if it's the smallest of things, your mind just overwhelms with joy and you just can't contain it, can you? Anybody ever have an experience like that, opening up a gift or have a present like that? Anybody? Raise your hand real high. I want everybody to know. That's awesome. If you haven't had that, I pray that you get that soon. I pray that you get something that overwhelms you with great joy that you just can't help but giggle and laugh or cry or run around or do like one of my kids, throw it on the ground and do a victory jump around it. But that to me embodies some of what I look forward to in this Christmas season. Seeing little people open up something that usually isn't crazy expensive, but something that is capturing their attention, and to see the joy on their faces is something that I love. And it doesn't even matter if it's my kid. It could be your kid. It could be someone else's kid. It could be an adult. It doesn't matter if I see that joy on someone's face when they open up their presents or something like that. It really is exciting, and it's a big chunk of what Christmas means to me. I love that joy. You know, when I think about these things that make me happy, I can't help but use the word joy. And we sing about it a lot during the Christmas season, don't we? What is the first song that comes to your mind when I say joy, Christmas season? Joy to the world. It's like, it's just synonymous. It's just joy to the world, the Lord is come. And we sing this stuff, but you know, a lot of times we don't really stop and think about what joy means. And so here's the definition. Here's the definition. Joy is simply defined by a pleasant emotion, delight. It can be furthermore described as in degrees, meaning joy has various levels to it. Just the emotion of contentment could be joy. But it doesn't stop there. It could grow to cheerfulness. It doesn't stop at cheerfulness. It could go on to gladness and eventually get to ecstatic elation, like what we've already talked about. This is all joy. Joy is something that we relate with, and it is this wonderful, pleasant emotion. Have you ever had joy? Some of you are so joyful. I'm like, have you ever had joy? And some of you are like, yeah, what of it? I remember time, long time ago, when I had joy. You know what? For those that want to complain, I heard this. This isn't even in my notes, but I have to give it because I'm thinking about it. So, you know, if you're in a complaining wham-wham mode this Christmas, you know, there's many reasons too. I want you to remember this. Whenever you want to complain about the way things are to someone, 50% of the people you're going to complain to don't really care. They really don't care, partly because you're not actually talking about them. You're talking about you. And most people don't want to hear anything about someone else. Their most interesting concept is them. So 50% of the people you want to complain to don't even care. The other 50, they're secretly happy that you're finally getting what you deserve. There you go. So go and complain. So I love that. But so, you know, maybe you're in the complaining mode this year. Just drop that, because joy is something that God has intended for everyone to have. Everyone should experience joy. But there's even more about joy that kind of makes me think these things. As a Christian, we're taught that joy must rise above even our circumstances. So all those feelings, those pleasant emotions of cheerfulness and contentment and ecstatic elation, they shouldn't be tethered to this earth. I want you to think of a hot air balloon that all of these people that are helping the hot air balloon from flying away, they're holding on to these lines that are tethered to the ground, and they're keeping it there. One by one, they let go, and that balloon does what? It raises up. And our joy has to be like that untethered hot air balloon. It must arise and leave the ground and go from there to some other higher perspective so that it's not affected by just all the stuff here on earth. And so when we come to our Christian understanding of joy, it's we go above our circumstances by focusing on the character of Christ. That's how we get above our circumstances. So joy this year, it's not going to happen in the Christian sense of it until we get above our circumstances and focus on Christ. And so the things that we focus on, the psalmist says in 71:14-16 that we have joy over righteousness. That's good. I'm focusing on righteousness. In Psalms 21:1, we rejoice over salvation. In Psalms 31:7, we rejoice over his mercy. Psalms 148:5 says we rejoice over creation, that he created us. I'm glad you're married, or that you were created, that you were made. And so we rejoice over that. Psalms 33:1 says, we rejoice over God's faithfulness. Psalms 119:14 says that we rejoice over the word of God. And all of these things are so wonderful. In fact, these are all causes for great pleasant emotions, if we think about it. So turn with me to our key scripture this day. Luke chapter 1. We've been in this series of messages called stories, and I have to highlight something out of Luke chapter 1 that is important Christmas season. And in Luke chapter 1, we actually get the story of Mary and her Magnificat, her awesome praise that she gives to God. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46, my Bible reads in this way. It says, and Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. We'll read that again. It says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul, my spirit, my soul, and my spirit. That soul is that life force in you. It's distinguishable in this way. You can think of your soul as the very thing that gives your physical body life and sustains it. And that soul can be sanctified. It could be brought from death into life. It could be a life, a born-again soul. A spirit can be defined in the sense of your mind, will, and emotions. And all of these things can be affected by your circumstances. But in Christ, these things must be affected by something bigger than your circumstances. Your soul has to be affected by God. Your spirit has to be affected by God. This Christmas, we've got to read this account of Mary magnifying the Lord, because each and every one of you here today needs to know how to magnify God Christmas time. You got to know how to obey scripture that says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is some good stuff in Scripture, but it's difficult for us to do. If we were to take the time and read more, in verse 48 it says, why? Why is this happening? She says why. She says, because God has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, talking about herself. For behold, henceforth all generations will now call Mary blessed. Verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Verse 50, his mercy is on those who fear him. That's great, isn't it? Man, from generation to generation. Verse 51, he has shown strength with his mighty arm, and he scattered the proud in their imaginations of their heart. Verse 52, he's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. I look at all of this stuff. My goodness, Mary is rejoicing in God, her Savior. What a great thing, but let's be real. Mary is rejoicing in God, her Savior, but what is going on in her life right now? What's going on in your life right now? I'm going to give you a message today that's all about rejoicing in God, but I'm not even asking you what's going on in your life. Some of you in this room are probably on the top of something. You're going, yeah, this is great. Some of you might be going through a valley. We have somebody in our church who just lost somebody dear, and at the beginning of the week, we never would have thought we would have lost this brother, but now he's gone to be with Jesus. And I look at that and I think, you and I don't know where our week is going to end up. You might be alive and thinking you have years and years left on your list to do and all that stuff, but Jesus might come and collect you before Saturday ever gets here. I'm telling you, friend, there is something different about every one of your circumstances. Some of you are on the top. Some of you are going through a valley. But the Bible says in every circumstance, you and I are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. What was Mary going through? Let's think about it. She just found out that she was pregnant and she wasn't married. That can be kind of awkward. You know what I mean? And in that day and age, and in her station in life, for that to happen, it was big deal. So she was just found out that she was pregnant, out of wedlock, all kinds of complications, and not to mention that she was about to go and face all kinds of social problems, because now everyone in her small community would have a feeling about her and a feeling about her future husband. Oh, and that brings up the other thing about her circumstances. Now she was in financial jeopardy because he was no longer going to be her provider or her caretaker until she found out that he was still going to marry her. So there was all kinds of unknown. And then she is saying this to a family relative that she had to go visit because it was in her best interest to get out of town. It used to be back in the 40s, if you found yourself and you were a teenage mom and you found yourself pregnant, they would go send you to some family in another city or another state. Why? Because it was more polite. They just didn't want all the friends and the family in the local area to just see you and talk to you and shame you and all those things. And so they'd often do that. You know, we don't do that anymore. We actually celebrate motherhood no matter what the cause is nowadays, and for better or worse, actually. And I look at this and I think the circumstances are so complicated, we got to put ourselves in her perspective. And so she is saying this while she's kind of in hiding with family for months on end. And then she comes back to her community showing everything. And then it's too late to hide anything. She's there. Joseph has already said, I'm going to still marry you and those things. And now there's all kinds of other complications. She has political complications that are going to happen because of who it is that she's going to birth. And so they, if you think about it, their king kills all of the babies that are under a certain age. Why? Because of her baby she's about to have. That's impressive, isn't it? I don't know about you, but she's got a lot of reasons to, instead of rejoice when she sees her relative like she does, she could say, life stinks. I didn't plan on this. This was not how I wrote my future. I didn't want all this to happen. She could have complained, couldn't she? Look how difficult it is on me financially. All my circumstances. All of the people misjudging me. And they're probably going to misjudge me and my baby for the rest of my life. That's not fair. I just want to wah-wah about that. I don't want to talk about all of that. The baby isn't even born yet. And she's got all of these reasons to want to just complain and whine and... But instead, she chooses to rejoice. How does she do that? How do you and I choose to rejoice when you might be going through circumstances that you can't really look at and say, praise God, I got zero in the bank account. Nobody praises God for that. You just find out you have cancer. Nobody praises God. Ah, praise God, I got a tumor. Yeah, praise God. No, you don't praise God for that stuff. Your kid runs away from home, doesn't like you anymore. You don't praise God. Well, maybe you do, but you don't praise God. You don't sit there and praise God for stuff like this. Why? Because it's heartache. It's pain. A lot of us go through different things like that, and it's kind of absurd to tell people, well, you better praise God for that. That's not what I'm saying here. But what Mary did illustrates what we're supposed to do. She actually began to praise God, put her attention and her focus on God. He wasn't even born yet, but she praised him as if he was born and that he had already accomplished everything he had promised to accomplish in prophecies for hundreds of years leading up to that point. She felt like they all were accomplished and praised him as if they were. Now, you and I can relate to that. You and I can this Christmas begin to praise God for things he has promised to do. And because he is God, you can praise him right now as if that thing has already happened. Just like Mary, you can choose to praise God for the things that might not be in your circumstances yet, but you can praise him for it. She praised him because he's her Savior. He wasn't even born. He didn't even die on the cross yet, but she's already praising him for that. She's praising him because he took the poor and gave them purpose and hope and all of those things. He didn't do any of that yet. He wasn't even born. She's praising him for it, though. All of these things, it's amazing to me that the Holy Spirit inside of her stirred her to praise God in this way. What do you choose to focus on this Christmas? I think it dramatically affects your ability to rejoice in the Lord. What do you focus on? What do you focus on? I want to share with you a story about a 20-year-old student that I read about in Hong Kong. In 2013, this student in Hong Kong, I'm going to butcher her name because I don't speak anything that this goes with, but it's Sang Tsi Kwan. So I'm going to just call her Sang, okay? So that's it. So this 20-year-old student Sang, in 2013, there was all this stuff that came out about her because of this. She was born severely hearing impaired. She had very, very little hearing, and she was blind. In addition to her blindness and her very limited hearing, she had very limited sensory receptors in her hands, very little finger sensitivity at all. These were her handicaps, her limitations when she was born, and she had to live with these things. But in spite of those things, she taught herself Braille. How to read Braille? With her lips. Not only this, she taught herself to read Braille with her lips, and she became an amazing college student. In fact, here's what they say about her. She consistently scored in the top 5% in almost every single subject that she took. When it came time for her to take her test into her college exams, she had a choice to bypass the test because of her disabilities and almost get a free ride into it. Instead, she took the tests, accepted the challenge, and succeeded and excelled everybody's expectations. And this is what she said. She said, "I have had to accept my disadvantages, but I decided," hear that, "I chose to take the challenge on, whatever the results would be. I think the most important thing is the courage to face these challenges." That's what this young girl said. And I look at that and I think, wow, that's amazing. What did she focus on? Did she focus on her circumstances? Not at all. She came above her circumstances and found ways around it. She didn't focus on her circumstances, or she would have been resigned to just this, I don't know, subpar life and existence. Something different was in her to say, "I will not let blindness, finger sensitivity, lack of hearing hold me back from everything that I'm intended to do or be in life. I'll learn Braille with my lips if I have to, but I'm going to take every challenge on, and I'm going to choose to focus on what is better." That's important. I don't know if she has faith in Christ or not, but I tell you, her story inspires me because I want to do what the Bible says, and that is rejoice. Now, what does it mean when I say rejoice? Rejoice means to recall those things that are cause for pleasant emotions. Rejoice in the Lord. Recall what is a cause for a pleasant emotion. Recall, remember. Bring back to your mind things that are stirring up pleasant emotions. Rejoice in the Lord always. So that means no matter what your circumstances are today, you are commanded in Scripture to recall the things about God that stir up pleasant emotions. Now you have a choice. You can think about this week's practical stuff. Aunt so-and-so is going to have to come to my house again. I hate her guts. She comes to my house and then she nitpicks on how I decorate. And she nitpicks on what I wear. And then she nitpicks on what I cook. Well, you could fill your mind with how horrible Aunt so-and-so is. Or you can instead focus on the things of God that stir up pleasant emotions. You can focus instead on the things that you didn't get. "Well, I wanted this, but I didn't get that. You know, this year's been really crappy. It's a horrible one. And then this Christmas is just as bad." Well, fine. Go find a corner. I already told you 50% of the people didn't care about what you just whined about. And everybody else is like happy that you're finally getting what you deserve. So go find a place in the corner and wham wham to yourself. Or choose to focus on God and stir up something that causes those pleasant emotions. And what do we think about? I tell you, in the darkest times of my life, I have found these quiet places alone with the Lord, and I've always had good reason to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul from hell. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for me. I don't need a dollar in the bank account to give me praise like that. I don't need 10 people in my life saying, oh, Ben, I love you. You're my favorite person in the world. No one has to like me for me to be able to praise God like that. And you know, the longer I focus on that, the more my heart starts to go, yeah, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. And then my brain starts to think about other things. His mercy. You know, I've never got what I deserve. I never got what I deserve. God is the most unfair God to me, I guess. He never gives me what I deserve. Instead, he gives me mercy and kindness over and over again. And I sit there, and the more I think about it, the more I just go, oh, man, you are so good, God. You are so good. And then he's never left me. These are all the qualities I'm thinking about him, and I can praise him about. You know what? I might not have anybody. I might not have any family. I might not have any of this. I might not have any future. My past might be horrible, but you know what? God's with me. Thank you, Jesus, you're with me. Your spirit is with me. I can pray and you hear me. You can comfort my soul. You can give me all this stuff that no one else on the earth could give me. You don't have to have someone this Christmas season. You've got to focus on Jesus. I love this quote from Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody said this, take the promises of God, my good friend. Take the promises of God and let a man feed for 1 month only on the promises of God. And I guarantee you, he will not talk about how poor he is. If you read from Genesis to Revelations and you see all the promises made by God to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and to all his people everywhere in all times, my friends, spend a month on the promises of God. You wouldn't be going about complaining any longer about how poor you might be in this life. Instead, you would lift up your head and proclaim the riches of his grace because you couldn't help doing it. I like that. I like that. Mary chose to sing her song about God instead of all the other things she could sing about. What will you choose to sing about this Christmas? Tomorrow, the next day, what have you been choosing to sing about? How you been doing? Rate yourself real quick. How have you been doing on your joy meter? Is your joy full? Is your joy empty? Is your joy got one of those like little alerts on your car that says, you know, 20 miles till empty? What does it say about you and your level of joy? Are you barely going to make it through Christmas? Well, you might make it through Christmas with the help of a little old comfort in this form or another. Is that the only way you're going to make it through and enjoy Christmas this season? Or will you fill the tank up with the joy that's only found in the Lord? You have that choice. You know, I was reading these instructions 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where it says, rejoice always. Philippians 3:1 and Philippians 4:4, where it says again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what that means now. Recall those things that stir up those pleasant emotions about God and all of that. 1 Peter 1:3 through 9, it basically tells us this. If you need that joy full, you got to think about your eternal home. There is coming a time where you will die. Merry Christmas. Yay! And that sound horrible. But you know, hey, this is how joy is stirred up. This life isn't what it's all about. There will come a time where no more do we get back to it's Christmas again, and I get to hear all the good old songs again. Nope, that will end. And you will spend eternity either in heaven with Jesus, or separated from Jesus in a place called hell, in punishment and in torment because of choosing that life. No one in hell is going to be there because God is mean to them. They choose to be there. You choose your destination, friend. And it starts right now in life. You choose what you're going to focus on. And it affects your heart, your emotions. So choose right now to start focusing on salvation, on mercy, on grace, on God's goodness for you, all those things. Stir those emotions up and then start thinking about your eternal home. You're going to be forever in a place where there is no crying, there is no tear, there is no regret, there is no punishment or pain whatsoever. You will spend eternity there. And not alone. You're going to spend eternity there with everyone who is in heaven and loves Jesus. They're going to be right there with you. And if they're family members, you're going to see them and you'll recognize them. You'll be like, there's Uncle So-and-so. I knew you was saved. You're here in heaven with me. This is awesome. This is great. I'm going to see my grandpa. I'm going to see all my grandpas, actually. I'm going to see my grandmas. I'm going to see all of my family and friends that go before me. And if I don't go before my parents, I'm going to see them in heaven. And if I go before my kids, they're going to see me in heaven. I want every one of you in heaven with me. And when we think like this, something stirs in me. I don't care about politics. I don't care about presents. I don't care about this or that. I don't even care about snow and shoveling things. All I care about is the joy that is born in me as I think and ponder all these great things that Jesus has done. And joy starts to stir up. But I'm thinking about the Great Wall of China. Has your joy ever been interrupted? Has your joy ever been interrupted? Oh, mine is. I could be watching my favorite TV show, be sitting there and totally enjoying it. Got my little dog sitting right there. He's looking at me fondly, and I'm petting him, and I'm watching my TV show, maybe eating a warm chocolate chip cookie and drinking some cold milk, and I'm like, heaven is here on earth. And then my wife talks, and then I'm like, oh, I am trying to watch. I mean, I love you, honey. I'm going to put it on pause. Is joy interrupted? Whatever it might be. I mean, my joy can be interrupted that easy. But you know what? In a bigger sense, our joy spiritually can be interrupted. You might get your praise on Sunday, but come Monday, you have no more joy. Why? Because you woke up and you went right back to the same place you've been thinking and focusing on for a week or a month or most of your life. And you've got to keep your mind on that right spot or your joy will be interrupted. And so that's why I'm thinking of the Great Wall of China. What is the Great Wall of China? Here, think about this for a second. It is literally one of those seven wonders of the world, but the history is interesting. And this is why I'm thinking about it. Centuries ago, they built this Great Wall of China around it for one purpose and one purpose primarily, and that was to keep all of the enemies outside, to guard from any invasion from an army outside. So they created this wall. It was huge and wide so that no army could penetrate it. And you know what? That's exactly what it was effective at doing. No army could penetrate it. And so we look at this and I think, man, that's awesome. They really accomplished what they wanted to do. They built this impenetrable wall. And they were successful, but in the first 100 years of their life as a country after they built that, you know, they were invaded from outside forces 3 times. What in the world happened? But in all 3 of those invasions, they never scaled or broke through the wall. You know why? How come they could get in and invade? An exterior army, how could they get in and invade China 3 times successfully? And they didn't do it by breaking through the wall or going over the wall. I'll tell you how they did it. They bribed guards. All 3 times, they had someone on the inside that they bribed and tempted and did whatever they could do so that they could open the door and let that invading army in. Now, I'm telling you, when I read Ephesians chapter 4, 27, it says, don't you give that devil a foothold this Christmas. I'm saying, here's what I want to do with my joy. Build a wall around it, but guard your heart so you don't open the door to any invading army to come in and steal your joy this Christmas season. Now, the temptation, the bribe to open that door and lose your focus on the joy of God is strong. It's very tempting. If it wasn't tempting, we wouldn't do it, right? The temptations come in forms like this. You might start thinking tomorrow or today, well, if my wife would only whatever, dot, dot, dot. Or you might think, well, if my husband would just stop doing dot, dot, dot. You might think that. You might think, well, if my boss would only start doing dot, dot, dot. Or you might be thinking, if my child would just dot, dot, dot. And those temptations to think those things, to shift your focus or do whatever, they begin to open up a heart door and your mind wanders and an invading force gets in there and begins to corrupt and spoil all the junk inside of you. Your spirit becomes tainted and spoiled because the wall wasn't breached. You open the door and let the enemy steal the joy that was inside. See, the Bible talks about your spirit being God's spirit, your temple being the place where God's spirit resides. And if you open the door for the enemy to sow these seeds of doubt and junk and all these other things, then your spirit becomes corrupted and it's not quiet anymore. You know, when we sing the songs like, Silent Night, you know, all is calm, all is bright, those kinds of things. Sometimes in our hearts and in our spirit, it is the furthest thing from peace and calm. It's just anxiety and stress and tension. Why? What have you allowed into your mind? What have you allowed into your heart? Sometimes it's simply the sin in our life that we do not want to deal with. And it happens all the time for Christian brothers and sisters. There's something that the Holy Spirit, who loves you and reveals God's truth, is saying, I'm highlighting this in your life. I want you to repent from it. I want you to ask for forgiveness, be cleansed of it. And I want you to do a 180, and I want you to live in a different direction. But you refuse to address it. You ignore it. You pass the buck. You pass the blame. Instead, you say, well, it's all my wife. It's all my husband. It's all my kids. It's all my boss. It's all the circumstances. It's politics. All that's a lie because it's shifting the blame. God wants to deal with you. And your sin separates you from God's presence where the fullness of joy is. How do you restore it? How do you restore the right spirit in you if your joy is diminished? It's simple. Repent. Go to God, friend. Don't wait for Christmas morning to open up forgiveness. Open it up today. Open it up before you leave church today. Just go, you know what? I have been a jerk. Can I ask God forgiveness? Is it because I've been a jerk? Yes, you can. We have an altar just set up for jerks, okay? It's the jerk altar. You can come down and leave all of the attitude and the junkiness right here at the altar. God will forgive you, wash you, be cleansed, and you can leave a happy person. Now, what about depression and all of those things? Come on, this altar is for depression. You come in there, and if you have been so consumed with self, you can't see past yourself, leave self right here at the altar. You know, that's what heals depression most often. Get your eyes off yourself, think about somebody else. And suddenly, your world starts to change. Why? Because anytime we look in the mirror or look inside too long, too much, every one of us gets depressed. I don't know about you, but if you take away the skin and just look what's inside, hidden by the skin, it's ugly. It's kind of nasty, bloody and gross, and can't sustain life without this stuff covering it up. Keep that junk self hidden and buried and gone. Focus on other people and other things. Amen? So those are the things that are important. If we're going to have a restored right spirit with God and increase our joy, you've got to be willing to drop it at the altar and open up forgiveness or mercy or God's kindness or God's peace, all those things. Open that up. Focus on it. And I'll tell you, something will start to happen in your heart. You'll start to feel the joy of the Lord. I don't know about you, but anybody need more joy? You want more joy this Christmas season? God's got plenty of it. He never runs out. His shelves are always stocked full with it. Well, that's it. That's it. That's the message. Love you guys. I think you're the best church in town. That's why I keep coming. You guys laugh. I could easily go to someone else's church. Come on. Don't give me too much credit, you know? Yay. But I keep coming because Bill's cool. And but you know what? This Christmas season, stand with me. And I just want you to be blessed. If you're struggling, there's no need for you to struggle this Christmas. No need for you to struggle this Christmas, friend. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. There is no need to stay out of God's presence. You can come right in. He always accepts. He always loves. There's never been a person God's rejected or turned away. I want you to know that. Even if you've been a prodigal, a rebel, once you knew God and then you walked away, you know he's never turned away a rebel. When anybody comes back to the Lord, he receives them with open arms, loves them, embraces them, restores them, builds them up, gives them things that they thought no one could ever give back to them, but he gives them hope and a purpose and a future. If you need that this Christmas, you need to come right back into the presence of God and find that restoration that only God can give. But some people in this Christmas season, I genuinely believe their joy is empty. And if that's you, I want you to just open your heart up to the Lord this Christmas season. And I want to pray that God makes his joy a reality in you. Because we read in Galatians 5:22 that joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't will the junky stuff out and will joy into it. You have to open up to the joy and let the Holy Spirit fill you with the whole joy of the Lord. You got to open up and surrender to that joy. So if you want joy, I want you to just close your eyes and I want you to turn your attention to the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to just receive as I pray for you today, and I'm going to dismiss you. If you're far from God, I want you to just ask for forgiveness while I'm praying, and I want you to receive God's forgiveness today. I want you to be restored into God's presence. If you need anything else, you just whisper it, to yourself, right to the Lord, and just receive what you need. And I'm going to be praying for your joy to be made full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you because every single promise is yes and amen in you. As we celebrate your birth and every fulfillment of those prophecies that came that said you would come and redeem us from our sins, that the prophecies that said you would heal us from our diseases and our infirmities, that you would heal us in every sense of the word, both physically and spiritually, that, Lord, you'd be the Prince of our peace, that you would give us peace between us and you, and also peace on this earth between us and others that are in right standing with you. Lord, I ask for every promise to be focused on right now. The promise of redemption in every area of our life, that restoration would happen in relationships. Lord, I ask for the fullness of joy in homes this Christmas, where there's been bitterness and anger and resentment and grudge holding. Lord God, I ask for you to remove it in Jesus' name. If that's you, I want you to say, I release that in Jesus' name. And in its place, I ask for you to put peace. I ask for you to put restoration, an erasing of all record of wrongs, and let there be a restoration in that home. Lord, I pray that there be a stirring up of celebration over your salvation. Lord, let every mind put on your mind right now the joy of salvation. Lord, I ask that there be a change in our faces, in our countenance, that we, instead of looking like sourpusses, that we would look like joy-filled, celebrating, crazy folks that just won the lottery spiritually. Lord, I ask for you to transform even our faces today. I ask for this Christmas to be a joy-filled Christmas for every single one of the people here today, no matter the circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, folks, Lord bless you. If you want prayer for anything else specifically, please come down. Other than that, get on out of church today. Go have fun. We'll see you Christmas Eve right here at 7 o'clock. Isn't it?